house, right? In his house. And we're still in Bereshit, chapter 41, with Yosef. And we've been learning a lot through, I was going through my notes, and today I was just all week long having an incredible time in the Father, learning to work on my character. And it got all the way to just about 2 hours ago, long day, last couple of days, tired, and it's like I was lost. I just could not find that spot because everything I was trying to hold, I learned just a few minutes ago, you can't hold the Ruach. You gotta let him do whatever he wants to do. So you can have the greatest message, you can have the greatest anything and everything, but when you're learning to trust and rely on him, he could take it all away from you, and then you're going to really have to listen and pay attention. But he dropped this on me earlier. I'm like, man, what is it? What am I missing? And he said, Yosef got his character right. He got his character right. And then he had to step away. He had to step away out of Pharaoh's presence. He had to step away and excrete. He could no longer hold on to fear. He had to trust Almighty Yah in everything he did. And then he tells us in there by just looking at the Hebrew names, Menashe, to forget. All the stuff he went through the pit and through the bore, the burdens, those things was meant for him to shape his character. And then it showed after the 2 years, he said he's got his character right. He's like me now. He said he looks just like his daddy. And that's what happens. Adam and Eve were in his image, perfect, and would live forever. That's what the Torah is. That's what the five books are all about. It's about his character. We get that character on. That's the pure oil. We get that character on us. It's eternal. The flesh doesn't profit anything. It's going to pass away. Adam and Eve lost it. They became naked. They was exposed to the elements. They lost his eternal character. You got to get that. They lost their father's eternal character. Yosef had to learn to get his eternal character on and foreshadow Yeshua. And Yeshua kept away from the temptation and kept that beautiful character of his father, the eternal character. Therefore, when he was put to death, he was raised from the dead, because death couldn't hold the character of Yehovah down. It's the character of Yehovah. And then he says, I named my son Ephraim, a double portion. He's just like his father, double. He gets it all. He's able to live there in that kingdom. And that's the kingdom we're going to come to. And that word rang out in my ears all week long. Bow the knee. Bow the knee. Whenever it came to Pharaoh and he said, Yosef, everywhere as you go, bow the knee. Foreshadow Yeshua. When Yeshua returns with his father's character, everybody, every leader in every nation, every person, whatever they name themselves, they're going to have to bow the knee. Bow the knee. We'll have an early rain and we'll have a latter rain. Even the latter rain with his mercy, you're going to have to bow the knee and submit to his character. And it's his mercy and his grace upon us to be able to get his character and learn through the burdens. Is the pit, is the bore easy? No. But there's some things he wants to show us in our heart that we got to deal with. I was thinking about this morning when I was in my truck studying. I was like, man, you know, when we wake up in the morning, we don't have to get an evil paper memo or a deception paper memo to remind us how to be evil and deceptive. It's already in us. It's in our heart. It's in our heart to do evil and be deceptive. It's the flesh. It wants what it wants, and it's going to bring us to the grave. But we have his word, and that's why we write it on our heart. It becomes part of us and our character, and it's going to live forever. So the assignment comes with difficulty to get our character right and the burdens. And Pastor, he's probably going to talk more about this tomorrow. I'm not going to talk about it tonight, but just some little bitty key notes. It hit me on a Wednesday night when he talked about Job had to go through the difficulty. That's what it was for. to produce the eternal character. He had to get that character. And he said, I'll never give you more than what you could bear. He says that in the talents too. I'll never give you beyond your ability. When I was at my house a little while ago, I said, I'm afraid. He said, you got to let that go. He said, now you've learned about forgiveness and unforgiveness. And I had no idea I was going to run into that wall this evening. I run right into that wall. I said, I'm afraid. I don't know where I'm at. I don't know where I'm going. I'm lost. I don't want to do tonight. I'm afraid. And he said, who told you to be afraid? I'm like, just pray. So I called Brother Rob. He said, let's pray. So I prayed. When I would talk to him about things, I'm tired. It comes out kind of sluggish. But when I prayed, it's like you hear me speaking right now. I can't understand it. It's incredible. When I prayed, it comes out so smooth. I'm like, how is that? But I figured out towards the end, the Ruach says, you can't hold me. You can write all your notes down all you want to. You can't hold me. You're going to have to let me come and go as I please. And I'll let you know the words to say when you need to say them and what you need to say and how you're going to say it. It's like you go on the boat every day. I don't know where I'm going or what I'm doing. I'm like Abraham. Those are some bold words. But let's see what's going to happen on a Friday night. You're going to trust me and listen to me? And we're learning. Every one of us is learning. On a Wednesday night, we're learning through the questionnaire, through the burdens. I went through this burden, and we start speaking and talking about what we went through and how we had to learn to trust in his wisdom. Pastor Charlotte explained how she had to trust in the wisdom. You know, it's one thing to lean on your husband or your wife, but we learn to lean on him individually. That's how we learn the character. That's how I'm learning the character. I couldn't lean on Pastor. I couldn't lean on Rob. I couldn't lean on my wife. I had to just trust him. And that's how I'm able to speak tonight. Other than that, I was washed out in here. The flesh, it tries to think. It tries to reason. The flesh can't understand the things of Yehovah. Only the spirit. So it has to be spirit to spirit. So I trust him. And that's what we're doing tonight. So Pastor talked about the difficulty, it comes first. And I put this on a post yesterday on Facebook. It was incredible the way he just, Joseph went through a pit, and he went through a prison before being raised in authority and blessing. Yeshua went through difficulty, even keeping forgiveness at his death on the cross to be raised to be king. They were born to be sovereign, but went through difficulty to be proven. You have to go through difficulty to be proven. You have to be proven. A message don't do no good. We can come to a service and you can write down everything Brother Chad said. You can write down everything somebody tells you. And when you go out there, you can tell somebody that story of Chad or Pastor or so-and-so. But that's not going to build you. What's going to build you is you take that, and when you go through the burden, you apply that. That's why he says you apply it. That's what we talk about in Yaakov and James. Don't be a doer, don't be a hearer of the word, no message. You can't hold on to the tailcoat of somebody all your life. You got to listen and let it be done in your life. Is it difficult? Yeah, it's difficult. But you got to be weaned off the flesh. The flesh doesn't profit anything. We talked about the grain with Yosef, and the grain with Yosef, it was very valuable because people was going to die without the grain. And now we have a parallel to that with the word. There's going to be a famine for the word. The word is more valuable than any food. The word produces the character of Yehovah, which is going to last forever. It's eternal. Yeshua proved that. That's how he was raised from the dead, because he lived the character of Yehovah. Shabbat shouldn't be, well, I can go, I might go, I don't know, it'll be okay. It's part of you. It's the character of Yehovah. It's the character in us. I'm so excited. I've been singing Shabbat all week. They got this song with the tribes. It's I don't know exactly, but Maya, she plays this music, and it's a Shabbat song. And I listen to it, and I sing it all week because I can't wait to get there, to be together with the people in the character of Yehovah. So Job went through difficulty losing everything and his friends, giving him incorrect advice before a double blessing. And so we think about, pastor's going to talk about Ephraim and the double fruit. The double blessing came. And we express that in the Hebrew. You wouldn't understand that if you don't know a little bit about Hebrew, or you would study a little bit of the Hebrew writings. And we proved that on Wednesday. I talked about a Hebrew word, tamim. We'll get to that in a minute. Esther risked her life going before the king for her people to not be decimated by a proclamation. The Jews are going to be decimated. They were going to be killed by sword. So she risked her life to go before the king, before the scepter. She should have died. But Jehovah moved the king's heart for it to happen. Nothing in life comes without difficulty. Even the richest billionaire, we talked about it, even the richest billionaire having no difficulty will face difficulty. You're going to face death. And you know, we can go to funerals and we can make them so pretty, like they make heaven, and it's so beautiful, but yet death is real, and that person ain't coming back, and it's only according to what that person did that they come back, or wherever they go. It's their relationship that they had or didn't have with the Father. There's no man could pray somebody into the heavenlies or into the all right being Almighty Yah. It's nice. It sounds good. But it's not true. The word of Yah is true. And that's what we're going to stand on. The eternal word of Yehovah. Learning through difficulty prepares for a bigger difficulty, making it much easier to endure. Scripture is full of the answers how to make it through all difficulties by trusting and staying true to Almighty Yah, learning and exercising in His character. And I finished it with, and I was weeping when I was writing that. I said, He is my stay. He is my stay. I've been through a lot of difficulties in this church, and He is my stay. And no matter how difficult it got, you just stay put. You just stay put and you learn. And I ended that with, you know, there was a lot more to Psalms 113 was really the beginning of this. He's good to me. And I praise Yehovah. I praise Him in the morning with the sunrise. I tell Him, Father, I thank You for allowing me to ride on Your waters, in particular Your fish, and be a light to Your people. Not just speak with Your people, but be a light to Your people. And thinking about that, I got to have His character and my job. That's my assignment. You know, there's a lot of stuff you do on your assignment. You take care of your children. You know, you take care of your wife, your husband. You have ministry. If you're part of ministry in some area, you're part of. When you're at work, on the job, in the store, when you go in the public, it's part of your assignment. And what is in it? Producing the character and being a light, Yehovah, to all those who are around us. Look, there was a time that we shouldn't still be weak and burdened down, but we should be a light to those who are weak and burdened down, who are lost and undone in the darkness. But in the end of that Psalms 113, verses 7, 8, and 9, He raises the poor out of the dust. I'd never seen that till we went over it on Wednesday. I'm like, oh, He raises the poor out of the dust. He lifts the needy from a dunghill to make him sit with nobles, with the nobles of his people. And it matched with Yosef. It matched with Yosef. He went from being stripped. He went being in a boil, in a pit, in a prison. And then before you know it, he's got the character of Yehovah. That's my boy. And raises him up to be before the wisest, before magicians, before the enchanters. You know, when Yeshua returns, He's going to be standing before all those magicians, the nobles, all these same ones it talks about. He's going to stand before. It's the same thing. Causing the barren woman to dwell in a house and rejoicing mother of her children. Cause one that's barren to have children. Take one out of the dust and out of a dunghill and put them before nobles to be able to teach, to be able to be the light and the character of the Eternal Father, Yehovah. So that's what we're learning to get our character right. Now, relating back on the burden, I love talking about this because it was a perfect timing for me in my life when I'm working on my character during the week, when Brother Rob brought up Numbers chapter 4, verse 15 on the burdens. Because this triggered something for me to go dig a little bit deeper and coming across some other things in my study. And it's pretty incredible. I'm going to talk about that. I talked a little bit about it on Wednesday. But in Numbers 4, 1 through 15, it takes some work. It takes some work to work on a character. And so we see that in here when you read Numbers. And when Aharon and his sons have finished covering the set-apart objects and all the furnishings of the set-apart place at the breaking of camp, then the sons of Kohath shall come to lift them, but let them not touch that which is set apart, lest they die. These matters are the burden of the sons of Kohath in the tent of appointment. And we talked about burden being nasah. Masah, and then the other word is nasah, to lift up, to lift up. It's a burden. It's a burden to be lifted up. But it has a double connotation. It has an evil side, it has a negative, and it has a positive side. You can take forgiveness and be unforgiving towards people and bear that load. And you can't come before the presence of Yehovah. No flesh can glory in his presence. Unforgiveness is a product of the flesh. But forgiveness produces the character and it becomes a standard. So in this word, Nasah, it's a standard. What do we uphold? The Torah. It's our standard. It's his character. It's his likes. It's what he's like. He doesn't like unforgiveness. He's all unforgiveness. He loves unforgiveness. What he is. So we got to be, he loves forgiveness. We got to be forgiving, full of forgiveness. And it takes work. So they had a lot of work to do here. They couldn't go before him any kind of way. They had to have it all set up just right. What happened to the sons of Aharon when they went with they went with the flesh. That's all it was, a product of the flesh. And when they did that, they died because of it. Not that Yehovah really wanted it to happen to them, but it's something that they did. When people get rejected, it's because of they're rejecting themselves. So what we measure out is what we get in return. So in unforgiveness, if we hold on to unforgiveness for somebody, that person's still living their life, doing whatever they want to do, you let it grab a hold to you. So this thing has got you in prison, and that person's doing whatever they want to do. You let it come on you. It's like a snake. It grabs you and it'll destroy you. It'll smother you to death. And so during that message on Shabbat, my mom come to mind. And I just want to make sure there is nothing, because I have little things that are up and down. I said, I got to go see my mom. And there was a couple times I wanted to go see her, but things just got in the way where she was ill and things wasn't going good. And so this time I tried and it was like, yes, come on, hon. I was like, all right. So I was all excited, me and Linda and Casey, we got to go there. And it was the first time we had a conversation was brought up about the word of Yah, and we didn't argue about it. Her husband, my stepdad, he had some words to say. And so I was like, oh, okay, really? All right, it's good. But the other part of me was not like that before. Like, oh, you don't know what he's talking about. You know, all that stuff starts coming. But we had great conversation. And my mom had great conversation. Before, she was like, yeah, I don't want to hear all this. Because you can't argue over the word. You can't do that. It'll destroy everything. And so I've learned that through all the things that we're going through. And so, anyways, that went really well. And then she got to texting me yesterday some things. She goes, do you know, I flatlined back in 2019, and I was told that I was raised back alive on Shabbat. I said, yes, Mom, you did die, and you was raised back on a Shabbat. I can't forget it because we were so excited because we was just getting used to finding out what the Shabbat day really was on the seventh day. And we finally had a healing on a Shabbat, and that was you. And I said, and another thing, you're not the only one that died. When I was 10 years old, I got hit by a car. And my heartbeat stopped several times and they had to keep bringing me back. And so I said, that was 40 years ago. I said, so we got to let go of the past. It was 5 years for you. and it was 40 years for me. You got to let go of the past. Yah's got some great and exciting things ahead of us. One step at a time. You got to let the past go. You got to let the past go and press forward for the higher calling. That's what we got to do. And she goes, oh, you have such an incredible family. I said, I got an incredible mom. You're just as incredible. I love you too, and I love you. And that's how the conversation was yesterday. So you don't hold on to unforgiveness. You hold on to the character of Yehovah and forgiveness. And we learned a word a couple of weeks ago, Adah. I use that one every day. Because sometimes you don't know, or sometimes you run into a spot, or maybe you might make a mistake. You might fail. Remember that word? I fail. You might step back into darkness. You make a mistake. You got to hurry up and come back. And there was another word in there that I remember. I didn't get to talk about it much at the time, but afterwards, you know, I talked to Brother Scott, and he's like, yeah, man, when I get done, I'm like, oh, there's so many things I missed I forgot to talk about. I'm like, yeah, there's something I missed too. It says, creating me a clean heart, renew, restore, rebuild. That word is kun. In the ancient Hebrew, it also not only brings you back into the light, it's the first slither of the moon. It's the first slither of the moon. It's like a spark of light. When Yeshua is going to return, Yom Teruah, the first slither of the moon. It all matches. It all matches the scripture perfectly. So I was just thinking about that. But Adah is the ayin and the dalet and the hay. I'm going to, in my spot, all right, here I am. I'm going to look up to the door and I'm going to let him bedeck me. That's what Adah is. That's what the hay is. The hay is. I raise up my hands, I give up, and I let him take control and charge of my life for the assignment. Yosef had an assignment. He completed his assignment. Yeshua had an assignment, and he still got his assignment to complete. He still got to return and finish his assignment. And every one of us have assignments. There's a world full of people that was in the same spot that we used to be in. And time is all we have. Time. And then later on, we're going to find out about forgiveness and unforgiveness. Yosef produced the character of Yehovah and forgiveness towards his brothers. His brother shows up, that's what he showed. But later on, when Yaakov dies, the brothers are afraid, thinking, oh, he's never going to forgive us. Because that was in Genesis 50:17, when he says, this is what you're to say to Yosef. I beg you, please forgive the transgressions of your brothers. They still don't get it. He done forgave them already. But they're still stuck in the past. There's things that get stuck in your past that control you. We talk about that. There's people in our body that struggle with things. Maybe that was some things that happened to me this evening. Things that we struggle with from the past wanting to creep up. You got to cast those thoughts down and trust in Yehovah and be built up. It takes time. And I'm enjoying the Wednesday nights because it's like a midrash. People are starting to talk about things, and it blesses me. And something I would say would bless somebody else about the burdens that we have gone through and talking about the wisdom that we had to be able to be built up to trust in Yehovah. Because we're not going to be able to trust on in people, in traditions and religions or anything that's going to happen in the world. Because remember, if there's a famine for the world, there's nothing to be trusted in. You're going to have to rely on the Ruach. And now's the time to get used to hearing him. You got to get used to hearing him. When it seems fearful, if I would have taken the other road that my mind was trying to tell me, I wouldn't be standing here. And guess what? You're going to have to go through it again. All the way back to that spot. When are you going to stop doing that? It's a product of the flesh. It's fear. What happened to Kepha when he looked down? You got to keep your eyes on the door and let him bedeck you. And you go back around again. Something that somebody did to you, unforgiven, you can go back around again. And you're not going to be let go out of that pit as long as you serve in Yehovah to get his character in us. We got to have his character. That's what he wants from us. Because that's what he said to Yeshua. He He says, and I'll require it of you. The man who does not listen to my words that he speaks in my name, I'll require it of you. He said, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. That's what he's going to be doing when he returns, looking for his sons in whom he's well pleased. And now, please forgive the transgression of servants of Elohim or your father. And Yosef wept when they spoke to him. And Yosef said to them, do not fear. Do not fear. Fear is a product of the flesh, of something in the past that happened. You got to let go. Yehovah doesn't act like that. That's not Yehovah's character. He never moves. He never shifts. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Yosef said to them, do not fear, for I am in the place of Elohim. I am in the place of Elohim. And you intended evil against me. See, there come the troubles. Back then, but Elohim intended it. Who makes evil and who makes good? Yehovah makes all these things for a reason and a purpose, because he knew he was going to need that to produce the character. And you indeed intended evil against me, but Elohim intended it for good in order to do it as it is this day, to keep a great many people alive. Producing the character of Yehovah in our life is going to keep many people alive. If you don't get past that spot that you keep running into, you're not going to be able to help the people that someday on an appointed time he's going to set in your life, like it did for me this past week. There were some people I took fishing back in 2020. It was 2020, a husband and a wife. And at that time, I was able to share a little bit. I didn't have a lot of what I have now, but I was able to share a little bit. Well, here we are. He books a trip again, and it's not the same lady. So he's engaged to this new lady. So I'm just going along with, you know, things change. People run into things. So on the boat, he shares with me. He's going through child support. He's got one more kid to take care of, and this is his fiance. So I got to spend the day with them. Didn't say nothing much about it. We fished, we had a great time. And when we got in, I guess because of our conversation before, he goes, hey, you marry people? I said, I do ministry, but no, I don't marry people. I said, when it comes to marrying people, you got to sit down and go through some serious counseling and understand a lot of stuff on my end of the story. But almighty, yeah. But no, I don't marry people. And so his fiance says, so what religion are you? So that started the conversation. And I can't even remember all the conversation, but I could tell you, when I got on the subject of harboring forgiveness, unforgiveness, attention, listening. And so I said, look, since we started this, It was incredible. But if I did not get my character right all these years, that would have never been said, that would have never brought up, and they would have never got that seed sown in their life. Yehovah's got people that are in darkness, and they need light. And so we got to have pure oil to keep our lamps burning. And when our lamps keep burning, they see that, and it draws them to ask the question. And I'm not the one who set it all up. Yehovah did. So if you're in the right place at the right time, we're going to get into this now. It produces the talents. I understood talents more better this time. Talents, I always looked at money, or talents as, oh, he's got talent to do that artwork. But when you look at the Hebrew and the Greek, it's not all that. It's a little bit more than that, because it lines up with burden. It lines up with burden. So that was Messiah. I'll read it first before I show you. It's in Matthew 25. And I'll start with the first two verses, and I'll tell you what talents is, because it lines up with burdens. It lines up with character. Of what we're supposed to be doing for when he returns. What did you produce? Because Yosef had to produce something. Yeshua. And it all points to Yeshua, the character of Jehovah. And it's expected when he returns, because it's in this chapter. So the first two verses say, for it is like, in verse 14, for it is like a man going from home who called his own servants and delivered his possessions to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and went from home. So when we look at this word talents, it's a little bit above right here, is Strong's G5007 is Talentine. Talentine. I don't know how to pronounce it. Talantin. Talantin. I'm sorry. Talantin. It tells you right there. Talantin. A neuter presumed derivative of the original form. Here's a word right here you could circle. It's called bear. To bear. To bear. It's a balance. Supporting weights. You can circle that one. Bear and weights. And also it talks about the coin and talks about money. But then it got this other word, this G5342. Almost sounds like Pharaoh when you say the word Pharaoh. So you won't forget that one when you use the word Pharaoh. Just like I fail. Pharaoh, a primitive verb for which other apparently ones are used in certain tenses, namely to bear, to carry, to be driven, to endure, to lead, to move, to reach, and to uphold. What are we upholding? Standards. Whose standard? Yahweh's character. So keep that in mind when you look at talents now. Upholding his character. So when you read this, let's go read it now slowly. It is like a man going from home who called his own servants and delivered his possessions to them. And to one, he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. Keep that in mind. When you're going through something, it seems kind of hard and difficult, like for me tonight, I'll never give you beyond your ability. You can do it. Trust me. And you got to trust. You got to walk away like Yosef and Pharaoh, excrete the fear, and step into his character, and it builds you. And he who had received the 5 talents, now remember, now when you read this, you don't read the 5 talents and he got 6 or 7 or 8 or 9. He continues with the same number. It says, and he who had received 5 talents went and worked with them and made how many? Another five. When you're working with unforgiveness, and you finally get it right, you just produce forgiveness in your life. You produced a character of Yehovah. Now you can bring it with you on the assignment. Now you're not going to have that war against your brothers like he would have had, like Yosef would have had, if he had unforgiveness. He got rid of unforgiveness. Now he can move on. He produced a talent. You get that? He worked the burden. He got through it. And there's other things. There's fear. There's anxiety. There's many different things. There's lust of, many lusts of the flesh, many things that we do that we have to get rid of, many things that we're afraid of. Your flesh makes you think you can't, but he said you can, you have the ability to. I believe that, and I trust that. In the same way, he that had 2, also he gained, how many? 2 more. He's working on it. He's working on his character. He's producing oil, keeping the lamp burning. But he who had received the 1 went away. He dug in the ground and he hid the silver of his master. And after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came. Who's going to come and check out all our talents? What are we doing? It's a day. He's going to come and see what we did with what he gave us. I always can't find this chapter in the Bible because I'm always thinking that it's in there. What did you do with what I gave you? I always think about that when I read this. What did you do with what I gave you? But it's not in there. That's what you hear, or that's what you learn when you read this. So I always have a tough time trying to find it, but now I'm getting a little bit better at it. But what did you do with what I gave you? Because when he returns, He's going to require it of us. Devarim sound required of you. What did you do with what I gave you? You were supposed to produce the character of my Father. I gave you some little tasks to go through. So it's burdens. It's tough. But you need to get rid of those things that don't produce anything. It's the flesh. It doesn't profit anything. And produce the character, which is eternal, to live forever. So it says, his master said, it says, and he who had five talents came and brought five talents, saying, Master, you delivered to me five talents. See, I have gained five more talents besides them. And his master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy servant. Well done. Don't you want to hear those words, well done? You were trustworthy over a little. Now he could be set over much. Yehovah's word never ends. It keeps going, ever learning, ever learning, ever learning. They're going to constantly keep learning. They got through some little things. Now I make you ruler over many things. I'll give you more to character. You ain't seen nothing yet. Let me let you peel open this little Hebrew word. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, that's the character of Yehovah. Well, dig a little more. Study a little bit more. Pray a little bit more. Let some of those fearful things go a little bit more. And I'll set you over many. He says, I shall set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Then he who had received two talents came and said, Master, you delivered me two talents? See, I've gained two more talents besides them. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy servant. You were trustworthy over a little. I shall set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. The character of Yehovah is joy. It is shalom being here this evening. It is shalom going to be here in the morning. And to rest on our beds knowing that we're shielded and protected by the Most High because we're doing what He said. And the one who had received the one talent also came and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man reaping, and where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And being what? Still afraid. He never got rid of some stuff. He went and buried it. I'll deal with that later. You can't keep trying to deal with it later. 1 year go by, 2 years will go by, 3 years go by, you'll still be the same. You can come in, you can listen to the message, you can tell everybody about the message, but you still got this fear that's gripping you. And it'll destroy you. And Yehovah says, I give you the ability. You can. But you got to listen to me and do what I say. You can. He was afraid. That's an indicator right there. He was afraid. That's not going to be an excuse, by the way. I went and hid your talent. He went and hid his character in the ground. He went and put his character in the ground. It was all right there for you, but you wouldn't listen to me. It was right there before you, but you kept having to deal with you. The pastor said, we're always dealing with us. Us is our own worst enemy. We got to fix it. See, you have what is yours. And his master answering said to him, you wicked and lazy. You're lazy. All that time you could have picked it up. All that time you missed. All that time, other things are more important. That schedule, I'm telling you, it takes up a lot of your time. TV watching goes away. Fun things go away that you used to do. This is more important. This is going to save my life. It says, then you should have, it says, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Then you should have put my silver with the bankers, and at my coming, I would have received back my own. You know what the interest is? Once it's produced in your life, you got other people that you shine a light to, the lost, the blind, and the needy. He buried it. He didn't produce no character. He didn't save any people. Nobody had a light to see. Might have been some of his family. Might have got messed up on some other things again, going back in the past. When you go back in the past, it ain't long. The past will catch up and take you away. You'll be backing out of darkness again with us weeping and gnashing of teeth. That goes on today. Prison to darkness because you won't let go of your past. and the flesh, the product of the flesh. And when he returns and he says, bow the knee, that's what it's going to be. It's going to be bow the knee. A lot of people say, oh, I can't wait till Jesus or Yeshua returns. I can't wait till he returns. I can't wait. Better make sure we got the character produced. Matthew 25, 28. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to him who possesses 10 talents. For to everyone who possesses, more shall be given, and he shall have overflowing. But from him who does not possess, even what he possesses shall be taken away from him. See, the assignment isn't for us, for ourselves, to do whatever we want with it. To get our house, to get the best job, to go vacationing and do whatever we want. I'm blessed by Yehovah. That's not what the assignment's for. The assignment's for us to produce a character and run into those certain people in those assignments. He's got an assignment set up for us all, for those people. I'm just so glad that we went. I talked about this Wednesday. I'm so glad that we went through what we went through for Hurricane Katrina. Was it easy? No. All the things that, just like these people in California, I've been looking at them on TikTok. I've been going there looking at people. I worked 27 years for all of this, and it's all gone. That's what the lady says. Another one, I can't find my cat. I can't find this. It's all gone. I worked all my life for this. Another lady, 21 years, me and my husband, and I lost my husband last year. He died of cancer, and all we have is my son. He has disabilities left, and this is my house, and I don't even know if the insurance is going to take care of it. Don't hold on to the temporary things. We can't, it's sad that things are happening like that and our heart goes out to the people. But it was with Hurricane Katrina, we lost all the memories. We used to have Thanksgiving at Papa's house. We had a tree here, we had a tree there. Man, remember the driveway, it's all gone. Everything's gone. But Yehovah was like, I know, my son, I know. You don't understand my plan, though. You're going to run into all these Amish people over here, and it's going to be a double blessing and double fruit for you. You're going to have better. That's what happened with Job. I know, my son. I know it don't feel good. Yeshua, Father, why have you forsaken me? Even our master, why have you forsaken me? It was very difficult. I know, my son. See, producers. So all should be overflowing in our lives every day, to be prepared to help someone else. As we grow, we will be given more for the assignment. And then the 10 virgins, it clicked. When Pastor said, talking about, you can't hold on to my tailcoat. The 10 virgins, 5 were wise, 5 were unwise. 5 came there, give us some of your, you can't hold on to my tailcoat. You got to get it for yourself. You got to get the character on yourself. You can't hold on to pastor all your life. You can't hold on to your mom and your dad all your life. You got to get the character of Yehovah and have your own oil. And oil is a produce of being crushed and pressed. We learn that in the Hebrew. It's not easy. You get your life crushed. You get pressed and go through things to produce the character of Yehovah. The flesh has got to go. We got to let go of the flesh. The flesh doesn't profit anything. You have to walk after the Spirit and you won't do the desires of the flesh. In Matthew 25:30, and throw the worthless servant out into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The final judgment. And when the Son of Adam comes in his esteem, and all the set apart messengers with him, then he shall sit on the throne of his esteem, and all the nations shall be gathered before him, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. It all lines up. It all goes together. It's the same thing. He's going to return, bow the knee. Let's see what you got. Let's see the character of my father. Let's see what you got. Did you produce? You're afraid. What? Afraid? All the times, every message I gave you, what's the pastor for? He's the messenger. He gives you the message to do what? Take it home and do what I said. Obedience to my word produces my character. Here's a burden. Here's a product of the flesh. This is a weight. This is a weight. Look at Matthew 18, 21 through 24. This still blows my mind that I got from there to here. This blows my mind. Yehovah is incredible. Then Kepha came to him and said, Master, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? And Yeshua said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but to 70 times seven. Because of this, the reign of the heavens is like a certain man, a sovereign, who wished to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. Now, when we get to this talents, this is debts. He's got a lot of debt he owes, 10,000 talents. And these talents is a serious burden. He owes a lot. And so I'm going to pause right there. If you read the rest of that, I'm not going to get into it tonight, but this servant, he has a lot of debt to owe, and he gets freed from all that debt. He forgives him from all the debt. But then he goes finds his debtors, and he starts beating them and putting them in prison to make them pay him. And in the end, he goes back to his master, and he's like, I forgave you of all of your debt, and you go over here to your debtors, and you want to beat them and put them in prison? That's not good. That's pretty terrible to do that. He said, what you've measured out, I'll measure back to you and put him in a worse place than what he was before. He was supposed to share what just happened to him. Forgiveness. But there's this word in Luke chapter 17, verse 4. Going along with the how many times should you forgive with Kepha. Luke 17, 4, and if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day comes back to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. Unforgiveness is a heavy weight of the past holding one in prison. But in Matthew 18, 22, Yeshua said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but to 70 times seven. And I shared this on Wednesday night, that 70 times seven is only understood if you look at it through the Hebrew. And through the Hebrew, there's this word in 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 31. So when you get to that one, you're going to see where it says, Yehovah, his way is what? Perfect. So if you know how to go to Esau and do that, you can. But that word perfect is Strong's H549. And it's called Tamaim. And it has two mems in there. It's a tav, it's a mem, a yod, and a mem. And it means to be complete and to be whole. You know, a lot of times we say shalom, it's like a completeness. Well, this word is important because Yehovah is perfect. He's complete. He has no flaws. And he's teaching us in his character about forgiveness. If you have unforgiveness, it's a flaw. And it doesn't last. His character lasts forever. Forgiveness lasts forever. And it's complete. So when you read complete and whole, and then you look at the ancient Hebrew, it says it's someone or something that is what? Whole, complete, or they're full. One who is mature. Remember, we got to grow up from being babes to mature adults. We got to get off the milk and we got to eat meat. We got to be adults. We got to get to being whole and complete. And so this word tamim, I went and looked up. I have a little chart. Pastor shared with me. We all shared in Midrash. And it gives you the numbers. And it gives you a numerical value when you look up all these letters. So there's four letters. There's a tav. There's two mims. There's an open and a closed mim. And there's a yod. So when you go do your math, you look at yod, it's 10. It's a gematria of 10. And then when you look at mem twice, it's 40 and 40. 40 and 40 is 80, and 10 is 90. Tav is 400. That's 490. And what did Yeshua say? He said 70 times 7. That's 490. So how much you should forgive always? That's the answer. You should always forgive. It'll make you complete. It'll make you whole. You get unforgiveness off of you, that snake, you take it off of you and you let it go, you become complete and you become whole, tamim, perfect, as Jehovah is perfect. You won't understand that if you don't go look in the Hebrew. You have to go back and look at the Hebrew to get that. I've looked at stuff on the internet. They got so many made up stuff. Oh, it's just this. Oh, it's just that. That's what happens when you read Matthew to Revelations and you just kind of guess at stuff. But if you go back to the beginning of your book, I've always said this, just like you give a kid a Dr. Seuss book or whatever kind of book it is, you rip out the beginning to the middle and throw it away and you hand the kid the middle of the book to the end and expect them to understand it without having the beginning, you got to be losing your mind. You got to take the Bible from the beginning, start from the beginning. And it's a simple book about God telling us about who he is and about his people. And it's about Hebrew. And you got to look up those Hebrew meanings and definitions. If not, you won't understand a lot of things by just looking at it in its English. One word, you look at that Hebrew, look at that, tamim. He's perfect. 70 times 7, 490. Where did Yeshua get that from? He's a Hebrew. He's a Ibri. He was a Jew. He was born of the tribes of Israel. That's where he came from. And he's our Messiah. And I thank him for doing such an incredible job to help us. So getting back to that guy, I guess I'll read about that guy. It's a good story to read in Matthew 18. 25 through 35. He owed 10,000 talents. 10,000. Not five, not two, not one. 10,000. But as he was unable to pay, his master commanded that he be sold, with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. Then the servant fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I shall pay you all. And the master of that servant was moved with compassion, and he released him and forgave him of the debt. We had a mound of debt that we couldn't pay. And like Pastor said, Yeshua paid a debt that we couldn't pay. And that debt he didn't owe. He took it all upon himself that belonged to us to free us and give us that little slither of light, kun. Remember that word, kun, that little light, that new beginning. Now we've got to move on to perfection. We can't just stay with the little slither of light. You only stay there for so long. You're trying to stay safe, stay safe. You got to move on to perfection. You understand what it's all about. It's about the character of Jehovah being producing his children. The master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. And that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him, took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. Then his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I shall pay you all. But he would not, and went and threw him in prison till he should pay the debt. And when his fellow servants saw what he had been done, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master called him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt, seeing you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, as I also had compassion on you?" And his master was wroth and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. Oh, we're talking about back in the hole again. All due to him. So also, Yeshua said, "My heavenly Father shall do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses." We got to forgive, 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 forgive. It's Jehovah's character. I got a lot from this. But just digging a little bit deeper, I was like, "Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one." Burden, unforgiveness. We're going to need it for the assignment. We're going to need it for the assignment. So Luke 12, to be ready, Luke 12, 35 through 44, "Let your loins be girded and your lamps burning." You understand that clearly when you know about Hebrew. "Let your loins be girded and your lamps burning. You set apart one, Kodesh, remember that? And be like men waiting for their master when he shall return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they open to him immediately. Blessed are those whose servants whom the master, when he comes, shall find watching. Truly I say to you that he shall gird himself and make them sit down to eat and shall come and serve them. And if he comes in the second watch, on the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. Know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief comes, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into." Remember, we've got to keep our eyes on the master. Don't pay attention to the things of this world. Don't go back into looking in things that you're not supposed to, that are products of the flesh, because it'll suck you back into darkness. And Kepha said to him, "Master, do you speak this parable to us or also to all?" And the master said, "Who then is the trustworthy and wise manager whom his master shall appoint him over his household to give the portion of food in his due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master shall find so doing when he comes. Truly, I say to you, they shall appoint him over all his possessions." It matches with Yosef, and it matches with Yeshua, and it matches with us today. And so I got a lot more I was going to get into, but it just doesn't work out that way. I was going to go into 1 Peter chapter 4 about the flesh and just going back over what the flesh is all about and what we're not supposed to be doing and what we're supposed to be doing. And so there's a lot of scriptures in Peter 4, James 1. I went through all the book of James, because you don't want to forget looking into his glory. Because when you look into his glory, you'll be instantly changed. You find out his character. And then when you walk away, don't forget what manner of man you're supposed to be or what kind of son you're supposed to be. You take it with you when you go on the boat, when you go to work, when you wherever you are in the public. You take his character with you. And remember, don't forget. That's what all the book of Jacob is. In Galatians chapter 6, I went through all of 6 about, "For each one shall bear his own burden." It's about burdens. And that Greek word leads us back to Pharaoh, to uphold the standard. You learn that when you learn about the Greek word Pharaoh. So you excrete, walk away like he did from Pharaoh, and you have that character of Jehovah, and you're not afraid to get through whatever burden it is that you're working with. And so I'm going to close right there. And say Shabbat Shalom to everybody. This is a good crank up and start. Amen. For in the morning again, come ready and loaded with the Ruach. Hallelujah. Lamb's burning. Everybody's going to be protected tonight while they lie in their beds because we know we're doing the right thing. If you're afraid, that means we're doing the wrong thing. So we all got confidence that Jehovah is going to protect us during the night. And whoever's sick, whoever's ill, we pray for Ephraim, Manasseh, Yehuda. That's all the 10 lost tribes of Israel. We're part of that. We're all coming back and waking up. He's waking us up. Waking us up in this hour right now. So stay focused and have a good rest in the name of Yeshua.